This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Daily Check-In, which is our little way of stopping by and asking how you're doing during this time when our everyday lives have changed just ever so slightly in so many different ways. I'm Lee Chui Lin. So for our first episode, we thought we'd look at one of the main things that seems to be happening while we're at home, which is that the Malaysian fixation on food remains unabated. Nothing will stop us. So many people are cooking up a storm, comfort baking, learning new recipes, and just trying to keep themselves and their loved ones fed. On the other hand, you also have people hankering for the kopitiams, mamaks, and restaurants that they usually go to and being completely tired of having to make food for themselves, of having to head to the kitchen every single time they want a meal. So since this is the check-in and I'm going to be asking you how you feel about it, I thought I should start. So for me, I've always enjoyed cooking, but I did not necessarily always prioritize it or find the time for it. So in the weeks that I do work from home, here at BFM, we are taking sort of a week on, week off approach. I've kind of appreciated having this time in the kitchen. I've been taking on like different projects, trying out different cuisines that I've always been interested in, and also just figuring out ways to use up things that need using up and also stretch the things that need stretching, because we're all trying to make those trips to the grocery store a little bit longer, I think, in between the times when we have to go. So that's me. But I'd just love to hear from you. What are your thoughts on food and cooking specifically during the MCO? Have you been cooking a lot? Have you been ordering in? Have your friends been ordering for you? Let us know. Call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. In the meantime, joining me on the line to check in and also share their thoughts are Ili Sulaiman, food host on the Asian Food Network, and Lo Yi Jun, who's the host of BFM's food show, Breaking Bread, also a recipe writer from the Jun and Tonic blog. Ili, Jun, welcome to the show.
Hi.
Hi.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Okay, so first things first, this is after all the check-in. So checking in, how have you been dealing with the MCO? Ili, maybe we'll start with you.
So far, so good. I think I generally work from home anyway, so it's kind of like business as usual for me. But I think the difference is just not being able to kind of meet my family and kind of see friends. That's kind of taken a toll because I'm an extreme extrovert. So I'm kind of like, you know, but so far everything's been great. Trying to keep spirits up, and, you know, it's hard, but it's okay.
Jun?
Yeah, I've been okay as well. Because my job is mainly doing a lot of freelance jobs, so that hasn't changed much. But the thing is, I guess people are spending less time together outside, and that's been hard as well, like Ili said. I would say I'm an introvert, so in the first one week and a half, I was like, oh yeah, perfectly content staying at home. But then after a while, I'm like, oh, this is too much. I need to get out.
Yeah. Excellent. We didn't ask either of you whether you were introverts or extroverts before we decided to call you up today. So I'm really glad that we have a variety.
Yeah, that's a good thing.
So, okay, have you actually been spending a lot of time in the kitchen? Have you been cooking a lot throughout this time?
Definitely. What else can I do?
I think could have predicted the answer to that question, really, considering that, you know, we called you guys for a specific reason. But have you been... what have you been making, I guess? Have any favourites emerged during this time?
If I may go first, I've kind of like had to really think about, you know, what my view is, because, you know, obviously I'm active on social media, and I'm just kind of like interacting with my followers and asking them, okay, guys, this is the situation we're in. Like, what can I do to help and ease you through this process through food? So thinking of creative ways to make pantry items look delectable, or, you know, slightly goes aligned with what we're craving for. Like, for instance, like making, you know, sardine paprik because we can't order from our local tom yum or go to our gerai and makan it, you know, that kind of situation. So just experimenting and really indulging in Malaysian cuisine, but using what limited pantry items that we usually have. So I'm actually doing a recipe a day for my followers, and it's been quite positive and everyone's quite happy with it. And my editing skills have gone up tenfold because I'm doing it all myself and I'm learning as well, which is awesome.
Jen, anything that you've made that you're like, yes, this is great?
Yeah, I think it's the thing. I think it's like a lot of people are cooking a lot more, and as Elise said, it's like as people in the food industry, maybe food writers and food like recipe developers, it's good for us to put out recipes out there that are easy to digest and easy for people to make at home. But I think that's like a misconception where people think like, oh, home cooked food usually won't taste as good as like restaurant quality food. And I think the thing is like I suppose I've been like cooking things that, you know, you are a bit funky and a bit exciting, and you can still make it with like a home pantry and cook it with like just a regular stovetop and like maybe an oven if you have one at home. And so like really simple, some pasta dishes, but with the addition of say like miso in pasta, which you don't really think about in like home cooked foods, but it kind of elevates that with certain ingredients. It just elevates that to the restaurant quality sort of food. And I just want, I guess, just like encouraging people to cook more, but also telling people that, oh, actually, you can make really, really good food at home. It doesn't have to be bad just because you're stuck at home and you have to cook your own food. Yeah.
I wanted to focus a little bit on something that Elise said earlier, which is the idea of the pantry, right? And trying to make use of what you have. And that's something that I've seen a lot on videos as well as recipes, where people are constantly asking, what can I replace this with? Can I do, you know, red onion instead of shallots? Can I do this instead of that? Because, of course, everyone's just trying to work with what they have. Have you come up with any replacements, or do you find yourselves fielding those sorts of questions from people quite a lot?
Yeah, definitely, for sure. And I think, like, you know, as content creators, and I think you can agree with me on this, is that, you know, in this current state, we don't have the luxury of going out and buying fresh ingredients all the time. Mm. And, you know, it's good to stay at home and kind of, like, just go out, like, once a week if you can. In my case, I've literally just organized my pantry to sustain me for 2 whole weeks. So I've actually shared that with my followers. And it's really amazing what kind of stuff you can come up with when you're limited to a certain number of items that you can cook with. And I think that showing that that it doesn't have to be perfect and it's not restaurant quality, but as long as you're having fun and you're cooking for your loved ones and you're spending time to make things from scratch, for instance, I think that is what keep, you know, your day-to-day kind of a little bit more exciting, personally for me, and I'm sure some of my followers will agree on that as well.
Jen, any swaps that you've made recently that you were like, yeah, this works, or anything that you've had to field a lot of questions about?
I think a lot of, I suppose there are a lot of ingredients that are easily perishable, right? Let's say like milk and eggs, that they have a certain shelf life. And I guess a lot of people are finding difficulty in say like how long can you keep a certain ingredient, especially when they haven't really cooked much before. They're like, oh, has the milk gone bad? Like, how do I tell whether it's gone bad and can I use it for longer? And there are, I suppose, different substitutes you can use for that. Usually, I guess, although it's a bit more expensive, like nut milks do last longer, and things like I think for the pantry staples, you can stock up on certain dried goods or canned goods that can last a long time. So instead of using, say, like fresh tomatoes, if you get the canned tomatoes,
yeah,
it can last a lot longer. Yeah.
Okay, so we've been talking about cooking from our pantries, being good citizens. I just need to know, have there been any major cravings that you've had, though? I mean, outside of the food that you've been making, where you're just like, oh, I want this now.
My God,
yeah,
my
bed. Yeah, for sure.
So I'm not really much of a baker at all, and I'm actually like gluten intolerant. So, but like my husband is like craving bread, and we can't find fresh bread or artisanal bread. I mean, you can order it, but we're just trying to limit as much as possible because obviously, because I'm a cook, so I can share that that I'm learning as well. But definitely, like, you know, we take for granted that really nice cup of coffee from our local barista, and like the nicely fresh pastries, and you know, or you know, little things like that, like roti canai, for instance, like at the mama, or thosai at the mama. You know, those kind of little things that I really miss for sure.
June, yeah, you leapt right in earlier.
No, I think like I guess my biggest cravings have been things like very Malaysian things like char kway teow, Sarawak laksa. And all these things are like, I would never really make them at home because I know whatever, however hard I tried making them at home, it will never taste as good as like the ones that you can get at the hawker store. And I guess for hawkers as well, it's really hard for them because it doesn't make sense for them to be on delivery apps. So if I were to get one, it's like I would maybe stop by on the way to get groceries or something, but still it's very hard for it's not as easily accessible in the past 2 weeks anymore, and that's a bit sad, I feel.
We're speaking today with Ili Sulaiman, food host on the Asian Food Network, and Lo Yi Jun, who's the host of Breaking Bread here on BFM, as well as a recipe writer from the Jun and Tonic blog. And we're just kicking off our brand new show, The Daily Check-In, where every day we just check in on everyday lives, the way everyday actions and lives have been changed or are changing within the MCO. Today we're talking about cooking and food. So yeah, let me know. I mean, what have you been cooking at the moment? Have you been enjoying it? Do you miss anything? Call 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Bodacious, fabulous minds. BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is coming up to 4:19 in the afternoon, and you're listening to The Daily Check-In here, where we are just kind of touching base on how everyday experiences have shifted within the MCO. Today, we're looking at cooking and food because we're Malaysians. Malaysians can never stop talking about food, or at least this Malaysian can't. So that's what we're going with. If you would like to weigh in on what you've been cooking, what you've been ordering, what you've been craving, call 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. Joining me on the line, Ili Sulaiman, food host on the Asian Food Network, and Lo Yi Jun, host of Breaking Bread here on BFM, and also a recipe writer from the Jun and Tonic blog. So guys, we've been talking about cooking, and you've both been cooking a lot, understandably, but I wanted to know whether your feelings towards cooking have changed now that it's such a constant in our lives. Jun, what do you think?
No, I think I've always found a lot of comfort in cooking, right? And I think cooking and especially baking it brings me into a pretty good headspace, and with all the stress and uncertainty with our futures, I think like being in the kitchen itself is kind of like a good constant and kind of like a comforting one. So no, I don't think I've had any negative feelings towards cooking, nor will I. Hopefully, I'll never grow bored of cooking. But yeah, that's me personally. But I can totally understand how people can get bored of being in the kitchen all day. But yeah,
Ili.
I'm doing okay, actually, because I actually really find cooking very therapeutic, and it, when I'm happy, that's what I do. I cook and I develop recipes, and so when I stop cooking, that's when like everyone around me knows something's up. So I'm okay at the moment, but what I do miss is someone cooking for me. So I'm, you know, I come from a family of food lovers, so both my parents cook, my in-laws cook, and we're always like, every weekend is like a big, you know, get together. And I think that's what I miss. I miss other people's food.
I understand. So, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, like, air tangan orang lain, is like someone else's like cooking is something that I actually am missing a lot during this time.
And I guess it's fair to say, you know, you guys aren't only people who make food, but you're also people who think about food. And considering the fact that with the pandemic, with the movement control order, we're all in a slightly different headspace. I think everybody's feeling a little bit more vulnerable, a little bit more tender, I guess. You know, do you think that, what role do you think food and cooking plays in all of this?
I think food, it can certainly like bring that sense of comfort. And I feel like a lot of people over the weekends, they're really thinking of ways to pass time. And I think cooking might be a good way to go about that. And for some reason, a lot of people have been taking on like really, really challenging cooking projects, which even I sometimes feel like people are making sourdough from scratch. And that takes like constant attention. You have to feed your sourdough starter every day. But people are loving it and doing it at home, which in the past, like, not a lot of people would have the time or commitment to do that. But I suppose that's kind of like part of a silver lining of the pandemic, where people are having more time and to focus their efforts into different areas. And one of the areas might be food. Yeah.
I think food for Malaysians is like kind of healing. I know that when there's a celebration or when there's, you know, something that we want to kind of bring ourselves, you know, even though, like, say for instance, like if you're going through a hard time, you know, you always like meet up with your friends over a meal, or you go and makan, you know, something that's comforting. Or in our case, it's like we go into the kitchen and cook something that, you know, makes us feel good. And I think that during this time is the only moment in our lives where we get to spend so much of our personal time at home with our family and our loved ones, and to sit around the table and, you know, to cook a meal and then sit around the table with everybody enjoying it. I think that's healing in itself. So I think food is very powerful during this time. So it's no shock to me to see people posting videos of them cooking or pictures of them cooking, and it's really nice to see that coming together. Makes my job a lot easier.
Having said that, though, you're both people who like cooking. I like cooking, and we're talking as if everyone does. And the truth is that I know for a fact that that's not the case. I know of people who don't enjoy it, who don't cook much, or who just don't like the output of what they make. So for people who generally, before this, I guess, didn't spend that much time in the kitchen, what tips would you have on how to get started and how to get started potentially making food you like?
Eddie, you can go ahead.
You want me to take it first?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so I think the common problem that I think a lot of people who don't usually cook a lot at home is they tend to cook a lot of the same thing. So for instance, they go into a kitchen and they make one big pot of curry, and then they're going to be eating that for the next 3 or 4 days, which is not conducive in this kind of environment, because you tend to get bored and you always need to find new ways to entice your taste buds, because you're not allowed to go out and, you know, eat other things. So I think portioning is very important. So when you buy your ingredients, like the minute you come home after you've cleaned and sanitized everything, you know, is to actually like plan out and portion out your menu items, like what you're going to be cooking this day. And then portion out your chicken or your vegetables, pre-prep everything. And it also makes you kind of like not overbuy or over-utilize your ingredients. So, you know, during this time, it's not just about cooking, it's also about portioning your food and rationing your food so it can last and stretch out a long time. So I think that's really important. So recipes, most recipes will, you know, will tell you the serving size, whether it's for two or for four or for six. So you can actually do the math, and that in itself, some people find that interesting, because I know a lot of people, like some of my friends who don't, but they love following recipes. They're very meticulous when it comes to things like that. So they find enjoyment in the prepping and the buying and stuff. And then the cooking is like a secondary. So I think that's my tip, is actually, buy what you need, portion out, plan, and then start cooking. So you can look forward to different recipes every day so you don't get bored.
Yeah, I think the planning part is really, really important. And I guess the more you cook and the more time you spend in the kitchen, the better you'll get at it. But I suppose I'm sure there are people in there who don't really like spending even like 10 minutes in the kitchen. So I guess for people like them, perhaps like meal prepping, like in the beginning of the week, just like making enough for, let's say, like 3-4 days. But as Elie has said, like it can get boring, like eating the same food every day. But perhaps like you can just on Monday or like on Sunday, you can just cook like a few different types of dishes and ingredients, and you can kind of like mix and match throughout the week. And so every day it's kind of like a different combination. So you can have like your rice and then like 3 or 4 different dishes that you cook over the weekend. And then every day you can pick a combination of 2 and it'll be sort of different every day. But yeah, planning it out is a really important step in any sort of cooking. Yeah.
Do you guys have any recipes that you tend to introduce to people if they say, oh, you know, I'm not very good, I don't know how to get started? Do you have, I guess, starter recipes that you like introducing or sharing?
Yeah, there's loads, actually. I like one pot recipes because that's how I cook at home. That's my style because my mom was not the type to cook many, many dishes.
That and cleanup is easy.
Yeah, and cleanup is so much easier. So I usually do like a one pot, like, you know, like chicken rice, one pot, you know, chicken rice. I do like a one pot pasta or, you know, like a stir fry, but it has literally everything. You got your protein, your vegetables, your carbs, everything in it. So, so that's kind of like, for a starter, as somebody who's like easing into cooking, I think that's a good way to start, is start looking at recipes that don't require too much prep. You don't have to clean up and do so many different million things, you know. And, you know, it's like my mom would say, just sampak sampak. You know, it turns out delicious, and, you know, it's nourishing. And, you know, after that one pot, you're done. You know, maybe you can have that one meal for two meals in that one pot. And then the next day you can try something else, you know? So yeah, one pot recipes are great for beginners, I feel.
Yeah, I think one pot recipes are actually really, really good and really useful for this time. For me personally, I'm like, people are going to hate me for saying this, but I don't know why, whenever I'm in the kitchen and I want to cook a meal, I always plan the most elaborate thing and like give myself too much work. And like my sister has said, like, oh, why can't you just make a really simple meal? Like, what's wrong with you? So recently I've been like cutting down and making things easier for myself. I guess the one pot meal idea is like really, really good. But if you're like, you want like an extra side or something, usually salad is really, really easy. Like, you can just get any combination of leaves from the supermarket, and then you can just whip up a really easy dressing. It could be like, I guess balsamic dressing is really easy, but you can just play around with the different vinegars, the different oils, and just kind of vary it up. And salads and easy sides like roast potatoes are really easy things to put together within, say, like half an hour or within an hour if you're cooking for like a bigger family.
Last couple of questions. Have you ever actually been stuck in a rut when it comes to cooking, and how did you get out of it? Because I think, I think Elie mentioned earlier, sometimes you miss not just other people cooking for you because it's nice and it's a luxury and it makes you feel cared for. I think there are times also you're just sick of your own food. You know, you get into a rut, you fall into a certain pattern of how you like to season things, and then everything just kind of tastes very samey. Do you have any advice for people who, now that we are, week 3, you know, of eating our own food and thinking, oh, I just need to do something different. What is that something different?
Go ahead, bro. You get this one first.
I think for me, like, there are a few ingredients that might not be common ingredients that you will have in your pantry, but if you have them, you can add them to almost anything and it will immediately kind of amp it up. Like, I guess in the beginning, I was mentioning like a miso pasta, and actually it was a weird experience, but I actually recorded the audio of myself for the BFM food show making it, but that was really weird. But basically miso in itself, you can put it in, for this one, put it in like pasta, but you can, I guess for the Japanese, they also put it in like soups. But if you make any meat, you can also marinate it with miso, and it will immediately lend something different and unfamiliar to whatever you're cooking, but it will really, really taste like really punchy and really flavorful. And I guess for those who like it, like kimchi is another really great ingredient to use because it lasts forever in the fridge. And it, once you put it in, let's say like soup or even eat it on the side for a bland meal, it can lend so much more excitement and spiciness to your dishes and to your meals as well. Yeah, so I would suggest like if you're bored of certain dishes or want to bring some excitement to your daily meals, like look up for these really punchy ingredients and things that have a lot of umami in them that will immediately uplift your meals.
Illy, before I pass that over to you, I just wanted to check whether either of you have had a kimchi peanut butter sandwich, which I've heard is delicious, but I've not tried.
No.
Oh, I've heard it too. I haven't personally tried it myself, but I heard like some people are really into it. So
yeah, I mean, it tastes, it kind of like, it resembles a little bit like satay sauce if you think about it, lah. You know, like it's a bit like pedas, a bit, you know, spicy, a little bit soury with like the creamy peanut. Yeah, it makes sense, but no.
Yeah, that's how my brain has processed this. It's like, makes sense, but no, not yet. Not ready.
Yeah, not yet. Yeah, exactly.
Maybe in time.
I definitely agree with like using different ingredients, and I think like mixing it up as well. So like, you know, have like a pasta day, have like a, you know, I want to have like roast chicken, you know, go all English and have like, you know, sandwiches after that with your leftover roast chicken. And then the next day, make something like really Malaysian, like, you know, nasi lemak or something. So just kind of like change your cuisine throughout your time. And if you really, really are tired of cooking, it's okay. I get that sometimes when I'm just like exhausted from working that, you know, I will order food, you know, support your local businesses as well, because, you know, this is the time where, you know, you can't go out, but what you can do is order from them. And there's so many businesses that are struggling outside. So, you know, if it comes to a point where you really cannot cook anymore because you're just not up for it, it's okay to order in. Yeah, it's completely fine.
All right. So final question. What is the first outside meal or food experience that you're looking forward to having once we're able to go outside again?
Ooh, there's so many. It's such a tough question.
There's a whole world of longing in that. Ooh.
Yeah.
I guess I really want to go for...
Yeah. Okay, you go for it.
I'm sorry. No. I think I'm really craving for a good plate of nasi lemak right now. So... I know we all have our own hometown favorite nasi lemak places, but for me, like Village Park still hits the spot for me. So I'll probably make a visit there pretty soon. But also there's this like Sarawak laksa in Subang, SS19, that very, very few people know about. I forgot the name, but it's like...
That's convenient, really, really Jun. Small.
It's really, really small. Not it's a really fair. Small shop. And SS19 is not that big, so I'm sure you can hunt it down. But it's a really special, and I'm just going to go there for sure after this MCO list. Yeah.
Oh, my God. This is like asking a foodie what's your favorite meal. It's like so hard. Like, I'm just getting excited just at the thought of like being able to go out and get some fresh air. I think I would probably... there's probably two places that I'll probably go. First is probably... to my mom's house and just like give her a big hug and just kind of like, mom, can you just try and you cooking for me? and then I think the second place that we'll probably go is probably go for banana leaf. You know, like I think in Vishal, we go to Brookfield and to Vishal's Curry House. Yeah, because that's something really makes, and you can't cook. So that's something that I'm doing and really looking forward to.
Illy, Jun, thank you both so much for joining us today.
Oh, such thank a pleasure you. Having us.
Yeah. Stay safe, Lynn.
You too. You guys take care.
Yeah, take care.
That was Illy Sulaiman, food host on the Asian Food Network, as well as Lo Yi Jun, host of BFM's Food Show, Breaking Bread, and also a recipe writer from the Jun and Tonic blog. And of course, this has been The Daily Check-In, a show which looks at everyday experiences within the MCO and how they've changed. So today we focused on food. Tomorrow we'll be discussing how the concept of time has changed now that a lot of us don't have the usual work and school structures holding us in place. In the meantime, I'm also going to just ask the same question, really. What have you been cooking? But also, where are you going to go? What are you going to eat after the MCO ends? You can let us know. WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.